Brighter Media Group original.
Well, hello. You're listening to Your Day Brighter, the podcast. My name is Tracy Tiernan. Before we jump in, I want to thank our awesome sponsors, J29 Solutions. They are innovators with the right solutions for your business and a company that is committed to giving back to the community. And we are grateful and so proud to have them as our sponsors for Your Day Brighter. Let's jump in. It's a conversation with me. Hey, I'm Tracy, and I want to share with you for our first episode of our season two, I want to share with you something that I hope will encourage you. If you are feeling stuck, if you are feeling like you're in a rut in your life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, you just feel like you're stuck. You can't seem to shake out of it. Wow, have I been there? I want to help you get back your sense of newness. What's new? Not much. What's new with you? You know, same old, same old. Have you ever had a conversation like that, like a bazillion times? It makes me think of this verse that I love in Revelation 2:15. He makes all things same old, same old. Don't you just love that about God? Or how about the one in Lamentations 3 where it says, his mercies are blah, blah, blah every morning? Or how about in Ezekiel 18, where he promises that he'll give us a ho-hum heart and a humdrum spirit? Isaiah 43, the Lord says, see, I'm doing a repetitive, tedious thing. You've seen this before. Be amazed again. Woohoo. Okay, having a little fun here, but think about it. What has stolen away your new, your sense of awe and expectation and freshness, our belief collectively that God isn't done and has more to show us? What if God came to you today and said, hey, I've got some good news. You're done. I'm finished my work in you, and you're as good as you're ever going to get. You won't go anymore in your character or your thinking. You won't learn anything new or gain more skills, no new wisdom. You can stick a fork in you, hon, because you're done. I am taking you out of the oven. Would you be okay with that? Would any of us be okay with that? You know, studies have been done that show the thing that motivates us most at work, it's not the paycheck, but it's the need to make progress, to improve, to master something. And some of us feel like God has taken us out of the oven and there's nothing more that can be done with us. It's like we're flatlined. We've ceased to be amazed, ceased to be awed. We've stopped growing. We've stopped being excited about our relationship with God. And the only real change in us the last few years is maybe our hairstyle. This was where I found myself back in the year 2011. You wouldn't have known it to look at me. I was still doing my thing. I was at church. I was still smiling, worshiping, working. But deep inside, I was wrestling with this fear. Is this it? I'm 47 years old and washed up. Is this as good as it gets? The best of me must be behind me. My best offering. My best songwriting, script writing, singing, radio, creating, all the things that I loved to do and believed I was made to do, all behind me. There's nothing new about Tracy to discover, nothing new to be tapped into, nothing new to give. I've hit a wall. And now I guess I'll just make the slow descent into old age, maybe play some golf, get some plaid pants, wait for Jesus to take me home. Listen, I don't like to play golf, okay? If there's nothing meaningful left for me to do, to contribute, to learn, then take me now, Lord Jesus. I can't live out the rest of my days believing that God is done with me. And I just wonder how many of you might feel like that today, like God is done with you because you haven't seen anything new, because you haven't felt stirred, or maybe because you messed up and you thought you were disqualified and you're just holding on till you get to the end. Maybe just because you're bored with you. And you're pretty sure God's bored with you too. And you've always been this way. And that's just the way you are. And it's never going to change. You're Popeye. I am what I am. See, we can believe that God made the universe. But to change a human heart, now that would be a miracle. To change my heart, miracle supersized. To make something new out of this, you got to be kidding me. For any one of you in Christ who's new has been stolen. And for any of you not yet in Christ who had no idea that there could be more than this, maybe this verse will be a lifeline to you like it is for me. Now I'm going to use the NIV 1984 translation because it's sort of ironic. Anyway, it goes like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, the word translated as new there, it's this Greek word kain or kainos, and it means new in nature and better quality, unique. It means that in Christ, you become a brand new creature, like a new species that's just been discovered. It doesn't mean that you're an upgraded version of the old model, but rather in Christ, it's as if God has taken the stuff that makes up you and he works it into something that the world has never seen before. Gosh, I love that thought. Here's another one for you. Ephesians 2:10. Paul writes these words. He says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, as another translation puts it. He's the artist fashioning something new out of you. Still not convinced? How about this one? In Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul says that you, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So check this out. We've got a distinct characteristic in Christ that we didn't have before, a seal that cannot be removed, the Holy Spirit, who now lives in us and is proof that we belong to God. You can't go and get him at Target. You can only be given this seal in Christ. And there are parts to this transformation. There's the part that happens in an instant when you are in Christ. You become that new creation and God gives you his Holy Spirit. And then there's this part where this new creature in Christ will grow and become more like Christ. This is a lifelong process. It's called sanctification, and it's a beautiful thing. And as we get to know Jesus more and more, he transforms us. And we take off the old self and we put on the new. Our desires change. The way we think changes. What we love changes. What motivates us changes. This is the part where we get to experience the living God doing things in us and for us. And it's what we were made for. Let me say that again. It's what we were made for, to grow, to make progress. Yes. But this is also the place, this sanctification place, this is also the place that we can get stuck. Now go back to that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. What's the word that starts off that verse that I read to you? It's this little word, therefore. Somebody told me a long time ago, whenever you see therefore in scripture or anywhere else, you want to stop and you want to understand what is it there for. And it's because verse 17 is a conclusion that's based on something. So I'm going to back up just a little bit. What is this idea that we're a new creation in Christ based on? I'll back up to verse 14 and read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." Paul's describing salvation. Paul's conversion radically changed the way that he thought. Do you think you're too hard a case for God to change? Do you think transformation is impossible for you? You'll always be what you are. Oh, no. My friend, look at Paul. He was a persecutor of Christians. He approved of them being put to death. He thought Jesus was a mere man, a false Messiah, that Jesus himself deserved to die for being a blasphemer. And Paul was sure that he was right. But then on the road to Damascus, Paul is blinded by this brilliant light and he meets Jesus, the risen Lord. And you know what? In an instant, Paul is changed. And check this out. So when what Paul thought about who Jesus was changed, then how he thought about everyone else changed too. Paul knew that this same profound change that happened to him would happen for all of us who put our trust in Christ. And so we come down to that verse again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come." That verb used for has come is this word ginamai, and it means something that happened in the past that keeps having continuing results in the present. Isn't that beautiful? When you made a decision to trust Jesus and you became a new creature, a new creation, sealed with the Holy Spirit, that wasn't the end of the new. It wasn't just this one-time thing. It's this newness from God that's still bubbling up. That's so hard to wrap our brains around because that's not like the new in our world. You know, what happens to new things that we buy after we've had them for a while? They become old. For example, I remember two record albums that were kind of required for the record collection of anyone with great taste in 1976. So Frampton Comes Alive, a double record set by Peter Frampton. I got it when I was 12 years old, brand new. And then Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder. But here's the thing. They were brand new when I was 12. Now, I still have those albums, but I pull them out. They've got some wear on them. They're old. A lot of people don't even have devices that we used to play these things called records on because the technology has changed. It's old. But guess what? You're not. There's no same old when you're in Jesus. There's no blah, 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 stick a fork in me, I'm done, this is all there is to me. Not in Christ. God's new never gets old. It's constant. It's alive. It's this constant shaping, and it's creating a unique creature out of you. I guess the question is, are we working with him here? Are we pliable in his hands? How about you? How do you feel about that? Are you cooperating with God's work in your life, or have you somehow shut him out? Put a little box around you and God. This is what I know. This is where I'm comfortable. Don't mess with it. A closed system. You know, I didn't even realize that I'd become a closed system. In engineering terms, a closed system, it means an isolated system that has no interaction with the external environment. It contains limited energies. Nothing new gets in and nothing is going out. So how did I get to be a closed system? I went away at the end of the year back in 2011. And I spent some time praying and trying to understand what was happening to my heart. And God revealed to me a couple of things that had stolen away my sense of new. I want to share them with you. Maybe you can relate to this. Disconnection from God's word, disappointment in God's plan, and dredging up the past. Does it ring any bells for you? God gave me an idea on how I could work on those things and open myself back up to the newness that was mine in Christ. And so this is what I did for the year 2012. I called it 365 days of new. For every day that year, I committed to doing something that I hadn't done before. Get myself out of the rut that I was in. Get my blood pumping again in my spiritual life. I wanted to challenge myself, to shake myself out of the same way of thinking and relating, and open up my heart and my eyes and my life to God again. Invite him back. Please, God, keep working on me. Finish this good work that you began in me. Stretch me, grow me, make me uncomfortable. God, I want you to show me that you're still doing new things on the inside of me, that that newness, that freshness is still bubbling up and having results right now in my present life. Well, I have to tell you, 2012, it was one of the best years of my life. This 365 days of new kind of shook me out of this rut that I was in. I did all kinds of stuff. Some of them were kind of dramatic. Some of them were really small. I went to the symphony for the first time. I took a hot yoga class, painted my wall a new color. I went on a police ride along. I celebrated new babies and weddings and new homes. I worked at a Chick-fil-A drive-through for a couple of hours. Always wanted to do that. It was so fun. I took the polar bear plunge. I swam in the Chesapeake Bay in January. I did a spin class at my gym. I became a blacksmith for a day. I slept in my own guest room. I had dates with family members that I'd never gone out with before. I had an ice skating lesson from a friend. I bought a stranger a Bible. I gave gift cards to strangers and department stores. I ran a 5K with my family. The list went on and on and on. But more than just being a really fun year to try new stuff, God was dealing with those three things that he showed me that were stealing away my sense of new. The first one, the most important, really, disconnection from God's word. Now, I was in the word. I would read my Bible almost every single day in little chunks when the environment was just right. My quiet time looked like something that you'd find nowadays on Pinterest. You know, I had to have just the perfect little corner, this cozy spot, and this beautiful mug filled with my favorite coffee or chai, maybe some gentle music playing in the background, a nice candle burning, a blankie wrapped around me. Ah, my special quiet time with God. It was all about, you know, having it look beautiful. But it ended up being more like a zone out time. And occasionally, maybe I'd get a verse in. My quiet time became all about externals and really not about the power of reading God's word and letting it do its work on the inside of me. And then it all changed when I went to Haiti. Hey, this is Tracy. I am jumping in and interrupting my own story because I have some special people to thank. I want to thank our awesome sponsors, J29 Solutions. They can do a lot of things to help your business. They're innovators with leading experts in technology and processes that can help you from everything from staffing to data analysis, claims, health and human services. But what really impresses me most about J29, it's their commitment to their people and their community. Tracy Mills, awesome lady. She founded her company on the principle in her favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. If you're familiar with that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And this is all about having hope in the midst of whatever you're going through, that God has a good plan and a good purpose for you. And what drives Tracy in her business is giving hope to people by giving back to the community. She tithes J29's earnings back to nonprofits that align with her company's values each month. And so we're really honored to have J29 partnering with us. She is putting out a challenge out there to other businesses to join her and be a part of giving back to your community too. We were created to make a difference. To connect with Tracy, go to j29inc.com. Welcome back to Your Day Brighter, the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Tiernan, and telling you a story, three things that stole away my sense of new: disconnection from God's word, disappointment in God's plan, dredging up the past. And so the first one, disconnecting from God's word. So I was kind of painting a picture for you about what my quiet time with God was like back in the year 2011. Everything had to be just perfect, just wonderfully perfect and comfortable. And it was all about the environment being great. And, you know, occasionally I'd read a verse. Wasn't very meaningful, wasn't very connecting with God. It was really more about me being comfortable. And I liked the idea of the pretty picture of connecting with God. It was kind of like Tracy's Pinterest quiet time. So everything changed for me, though, when I went on a trip to Haiti. This was back in 2012, shortly after the earthquake devastated Port-au-Prince and surrounding areas. It was a small team from my church, and a very small team. We visited a ministry there, and we were told about this tent city and some of the things that were going on there, the suffering that people had experienced, and how people were just trying to survive. They had very little opportunity. People were, it was like a 98% unemployment rate there, living in this tent city, needing food, needing hope, needing community, needing everything. And we were staying in a building that was right there in the tent city. It was formerly a hospital, and it had been set up to house people that came in to visit this ministry. So we're hearing about all the problems and the suffering, and our hearts were just absolutely raw. And I'll never forget that evening, after our first, you know, experience there, walking around and kind of touring the tent city, we went back to our little rooms. It got dark at 8 o'clock, and the generator that supplied electricity was out of juice. So it was pitch black there in that tent city and in that building, that open air building that we were in. Pitch black, lights out. So everybody went to bed at the same time because there's no electricity. Our room had this large rectangular window with a screen that overlooked the tent city, and all around us, it was pitch black. There was no lights, no fans. It was 90 plus degrees and humid, and the sounds of the night were really eerie. You could hear shrieks and screams. It sounded kind of muffled. Other sounds I couldn't quite make out. And so began what I call the longest night of my life. I tried to sleep, but there was this terror that was welling up inside of me like I've never experienced before. It felt like this darkness that I was sleeping in was consuming me, like I had no air and I couldn't breathe. I literally felt like I was freaking out. And I was trying to talk to myself, yeah, get a grip, Trace. Come on. You're a leader. You're the oldest person in this group. You better get a hold of yourself. But I couldn't escape this overwhelming presence of evil. It felt like it was right there in the room with me, right there on me. Now, I've traveled all around the world. I've never had an experience like this. I guess it was like a panic attack, this fear, this darkness. It was more than I could take. And I was close to completely unraveling. I couldn't go into another room. Couldn't just go turn a light on. Couldn't turn on the TV. There was nowhere to escape from it. I sat up in my bed in that room and I pulled out my iPhone and my Bible and my journal. And I began to read. And here's the thing, I had just enough power in my iPhone to be able to shed a little light on my Bible. Just enough juice was left. And I was desperate for the Word of God. So I hold my little phone up, and by the light of my phone, I poured through my Bible and I wrote out scripture word for word in my journal. This was journaling like I'd never done before. You know, normally I journal, I'm writing all about my feelings. None of that now. I didn't need my feelings. I needed the Word of God. I needed power. And for the entire night, I sat up reading my Bible as if my life depended on it. And it did. It was the only thing that was keeping me from losing it. I wrote pages and pages of scripture, rocking in my bed as I read and I wrote. And then around 2 a.m., at my wit's end, still up and reading, all of a sudden, a light came in through the window. And it started to bounce around the room. I was so happy to see some light in that thick black night, but I had no idea what it was. And I asked Audrey, who was in the room with me. She was also up praying, by the way. And she said to me, "That's the lighthouse." The lighthouse. I had no idea we were near a lighthouse or why it came on when it did. But I immediately thought of that verse in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." It was like his eyes were roaming around looking for me, and I was desperate for him to see me. "Here I am, Lord. I'm right here. Strengthen me, please." Never before had the Word of God become so important to me. And God showed me one of the main reasons why my spiritual life had become same old, same old. I was disconnected from God's Word. See, God's word isn't this nice option for you as a Christ follower. It's your very life. It's your source. It's your strength to fight battles. It's the only thing that cuts through spiritual darkness. The only thing. It's the Word of God. And I was treating it like it was one of the many services that I could pick from the spa. I was making God's word like an accessory, this pampering nice thing to do when I had a few moments. That is a disconnect. God's word is my life. And you know, a lot of Jesus followers are starving for it. So if you're wondering why nothing new is happening in your life, in your spiritual life, maybe like I had at the time, you've cut off relationship to God because you're not engaging the Word of God. I came back from Haiti fearful, reverently fearful, and repentant about how I had treated God's Word. It's not an add-on. It's not an accessory. It's not an extravagance. It's my life. And now in this season of my life, this many years later, I'm committed to getting God's word through me much more than I'm committed to getting through it. I want to have a deep connection with God. I want to memorize as much of scripture as I can. And it's not something that can be if I get around to it. My life depends on it. The second thing that God revealed to me that had stolen away my new is disappointment in God's plan. Maybe you can relate to that. Have you ever felt disappointed the way things have turned out? You had hopes and dreams. I remember feeling like that. I had hopes and dreams and plans that hadn't come true. Why, Lord? You know, when you know how much I wanted to be married, why, God, when you know I wanted to have children, why have you kept me alone? I'm so disappointed. I remember writing those words in my journal and feeling like that. In 2011, it wasn't like I wanted a new car that I couldn't get. This was like, I want to share my life with someone. Isn't that just sort of basic? You might know about that kind of disappointment with God, something really close to your heart that hasn't turned out the way that you'd hoped. What do we do with that typically, you know? Sometimes we feel ashamed that we're disappointed with God because after all, we're so blessed and we have no right to feel disappointed. And how ungrateful are we? My goodness. And so we push down that authentic human emotion and don't deal with it. We pretend we don't feel that way. Disappointment with God isn't the problem. The problem is not being real about being disappointed with God. The worst thing that we can do is to not take that to Him. We need to bring it in all its ugliness, bring it right out into the open. And wrestle the thing out with God. Wrestling with God over your disappointment is better than pretending that you're okay. Because pretending, you can do all by yourself. Wrestling means you're still touching Him. You're latched on. And so I wrestled and I held on and I shared my sorrow. And right there in my mess, God showed me His love and His care for me. And I decided that I was going to trust Him again. But I had to get real with Him first about my disappointment. And so May the 18th, 2012, this was sort of my way of saying, God, I'm all in with whatever your plan is. I trust you. Guess what I did? I jumped out of a plane. I went skydiving. It was the most exhilarating, joyful experience I've ever had. And, you know, it occurred to me that He created me and designed me for the life that I have right now. So why not just go with it? Jumping out of that plane was like saying, okay, God, my time of mourning is over. I mean, when Moses died, the great leader of the children of Israel, they mourned for 30 days. I had been mourning for 20 years over what had not come to pass in my life. And so I knew I needed to do something different. I was stuck. What would happen if I just went with it? God isn't stumped about how to fix our lives. He's in it. What would happen if you were to jump into His arms and see where He takes you? Now, the last thing that God showed me had stolen away my new was dredging up the past. It was December 30th, back in the year 2011. I was walking along the beach. I was working through all this stuff with the Lord, and there was this dredging machine in the ocean. It was scooping up all of this sand under the water and bringing it back to shore, and it was forming a wall, this barrier to protect the beach from erosion. And I'm watching this scene unfold as I'm walking along the beach, and I felt the Lord speak to my heart. I felt like He said to me, Trace, that's what you're doing in relationships. That's what you're doing in your relationship, specifically with your mom, dredging up the past, your old hurts, letting it become a barrier to being close with her now. Your little girl hurts. Those things that you thought you needed and didn't get from her, you kind of stockpiled them, and now you drag them up from the deep and you silently hold them against her. Now, Mom and I, we butt heads a lot in the last few years, and I was really brokenhearted by it, and I didn't know how to fix it. And God had showed me that I had kind of snuffed out the newness that I have in Christ by refusing to allow my mom to be new. You know, the people closest to us that we've known the longest are often the people that we're hardest on. And I saw my mom, who was awesome, by the way, having these great relationships with other young women, like a mother figure for them, her friends' daughters, everybody loves her. She's great. And I felt jealous, and I wanted to know her like that. And God was showing me the reason that I didn't is because I've been dredging all the old stuff. It was time to give her a break. It was time to actually get to know her again. You know, there's a special energy when you get to know someone new, right? I think we're more polite, we're more gracious, we're more interested, we're more kind when we don't know somebody. It's as if the people that we've known forever, we've decided, oh, this is who they are. And we put them in a box and we keep them there and we don't let them grow. We don't let them change. We don't let them become new. We don't give them permission to be different. And God spoke it right into me. And He told me, He's like, get to know your mom again, like a new person. Ask her questions again. Find out about her like you would a new friend. And forgive. Stop dredging up the past. You know, the best version of who we are is always still to come if we believe 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's why that verse has become so special to me. I guess you'd call it my life verse. I have it. That's my tattoo, my one and only tattoo. And I have it on my ankle, 2 Corinthians 5:17, with a little butterfly. Because that butterfly is a symbol of change, of newness, of metamorphosis, right? You can have newness in your life. You can have newness of relationship to God, to other people, even people you've known forever. And you can even help other people find that newness too. Remember, God's new never gets old. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Feeling stuck today? I hope this podcast has encouraged you and helped you. And, you know, maybe you want to borrow what I did for the year 2012, that 365 days of new. Sometimes just being open to new things is all we need to kind of shake us out of the old rhythms that aren't working for us anymore. Here's one thing I know. God will never let you go. He'll never give up on you, and he's never bored with you. So if you're feeling bored with you or even bored with him, it's time to do something radical. It's time to change it up. The best is yet to come. Thanks so much for listening to Your Day Brighter, the podcast. My name is Tracy Tiernan, and I am honored to be able to share conversations with people who are just doing their thing to make the world a little bit brighter. And I'm really happy to have you be a part of that. Your Day Brighter is produced by Tracy Tiernan and John Lawhon for Brighter Media Group. A special thanks to our outstanding team, our editor Julie Gilligan, Todd Gaddy, and Caroline Burke, and Aaron Branham, who make it all possible for us to do this. You guys are the best. And especially, we want to thank you, our wonderful listening community. Thanks for being a part of this podcast. We hope that you will spread it around, share it with people, subscribe, leave a review so that other people can find it. And remember, tell somebody your story today, or better yet, ask somebody to share theirs.